The movement to document murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls has gained national attention in the last several years. As awareness has risen, the Native American women experience violence at much higher rates than others, and that thousands of them have been murdered or simply gone missing without account.
Last year, the U.S. Department of Justice declared May 5th a National Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Native Women and Girls. In Canada, the government launched a national inquiry into the problem. Now, the Arizona legislature has passed a bill that will create a study committee to examine these cases in our state.
Anita Lucchese is the executive director of the Sovereign Bodies Institute, and her work to document the thousands of cases of Indigenous women who've gone missing or have been murdered since 1900 has put research behind the movement. She was a guest on this program last year, and the show's Lauren Gilger caught up with her now that so much progress has been made.
When we talked to you about this last year, you had 2,500 women and girls and 14 trans women in your database. Has it grown since then? What's it look like now?
We're up to about 4,000 right now, and that includes 18 trans women. So it's grown quite a bit just in the last year, and I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, we've really stepped up our efforts in filing records requests from law enforcement offices, and that's helped us quite a bit when we're able to get that data. And also all of the, you know, press coverage and all of the outreach has really made a huge difference, and now we have folks contact us, I would say, you know, multiple people a week with submissions to the database, which is not something that was happening before.
Right.
So I think, you know, that's just shown the really positive response from Indian country and feeling like something like this is really needed.
I want to talk a little bit about the changes you've seen since we talked last year. I mean, this has really grown. Like you said, there's been a lot of media coverage of this. There's been a lot of awareness, I think, raised around this issue. And now a law passed here in Arizona where we're going to study this issue. Tell us a little bit about your reaction to all of this.
It's exciting. It's exciting to see, you know, families who've been affected by this and Native women find their voices and take leadership on this. And it's exciting to, you know, finally be heard. This movement is older than I am, especially when we look at its roots in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the States, there hasn't been, you know, really a whole lot of policy work addressing this issue or even national, you know, organizing around the issue up until the last couple of years. And it's been really great to see policymakers responsive to, you know, the Native communities' asks on this, because a lot of families all around Indian country that feel like they just have been alone in that grief and haven't been heard for a long time. So to actually be told, you know, we hear you, let's do something about it, is really powerful.
Remind us, Anita, why this was important for you to do, like how you decided to be the person to create this database to begin with.
Well, it was an accident. I didn't set out to do it. It just kind of came to me. I was working on a school project and needed a good working number of cases and found that there's lots of numbers out there and lots of lists out there, but none of them match. And for me, as a survivor of domestic violence and trafficking, who almost ended up on one of these lists, it really bothered me that there was no guarantee that my story was going to be part of the effort to make sure that doesn't happen to other women and girls, and that there wasn't a safe place for that story to be held and cared for. So that's what the database is for, is to fill in that gap.
When we talked last year, one of the things that you said was that the database had been able to sort of prove some of the theories or anecdotal evidence that law enforcement and others might have had about some of these populations of women who have gone missing or who have been murdered. Like, for example, foster children who go missing, many assume would go into trafficking, and you were able to prove that. So as this has grown, how have you seen the effects of this play out?
Well, I think it's been useful in demonstrating, like you said, some of the things we already know, but it's also been really useful in illuminating the gaps in the conversation. So even though this movement has been growing nationally and there's all this great dialogue, even the great dialogue and the press coverage that is happening, sometimes it focuses on particular places and leaves others out. So the data has been really great in being able to say, you know, for example, in California, we've seen an 850% increase in cases in the last 5 years, and
wow,
yet no one covers this issue in California. So to be able to back up what we're saying with numbers has been really helpful for us in saying, hey, we know this is a problem here.
Mm-hmm. What have you heard personally from, you mentioned some of the families who have been able to get some closure through this, through having their grief be recognized in this way?
I'm not sure that it's closure that they're getting. I think it's more a kind of relief or peace of mind, in the sense that grief is a very isolating experience, especially when you're grieving someone who has been taken violently and the case hasn't been handled appropriately. And so I think just to have a space where families are validated and know that they're not alone in carrying that grief, it doesn't make the grief go away, but it makes it easier to carry. And it makes it easier to talk about. So, you know, that's something that I have seen among family members across Indian Country.
All right. Anita Lucchese, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And now let's turn to another story about the problem of unsolved murders for all Native American people.
A new study from the Murder Accountability Project shows that half of all Native American deaths in the U.S. go unreported to the FBI. In Arizona, it's about one in three. Jared McDonald-Levo of the Arizona Mirror has covered the issue and joins us now to talk more about it. Jared, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk about this difference in data as far as FBI data goes versus CDC numbers. Explain that for us.
Yeah, so what the Murder Accountability Project found was that the FBI numbers, they come from what's called the FBI Supplemental Homicide Report, which is voluntary. So police departments don't have to submit to it. So there's a lot of issues with that data. And there's also been some issues found with how that data is reported. So what they did is they compared that, the numbers in that from 1976 to present, with the numbers in the CDC's Wonder database, which has all deaths in the United States, gets it from, you know, medical examiners, you know, hospital officials, things like that. And they found that the CDC numbers were much higher than the FBI a lot of the times. Like, for example, in Arizona, CDC reported over 900, where the FBI only reported about 300.
Were there other places, other states or municipalities where the numbers were as stark as in Arizona, that one in three go unreported?
Yeah, New Mexico is actually probably a little bit worse than Arizona. I believe they're closer to about half of their cases, but Arizona is right behind them. We're kind of second place.
And what are folks saying we can be done about that?
So at the Capitol, they've recently kind of tried to change things. Representative Jennifer Germain got a bill passed that was signed by the governor that will create this study committee that'll consist of, you know, folks from DPS, the tribes, the tribal police, the House representatives, the Senate, the Attorney General, to study this and figure out where are we having issues with data and where can we get better with that, as well examining what might be the causes of this increase in violence towards Native women.
So how much of this could be seen as a cultural difference, perhaps a lack of trust, and how much a lack of working between law enforcement agencies? Because we know the U.S. Attorney's Office in Arizona is heavily involved with what goes on in reservations, but obviously that's a federal agency, not involved with the state specifically.
Yeah, that's where it gets pretty complicated when it comes to trying to dive into this issue, because you have different jurisdictions and different people who might cover things. And when it comes to the tribal police, when it comes to reporting murders, they only recently started reporting their numbers to the FBI in 2015. And even then, there's some issues with that data. Like Auction Police Department, Tribal Police Department reported one murder from 2015 to present, and it's still unsolved. So you have some major issues going on there as well, where we don't know how accurate some of this reporting is.
Yeah, I'm curious if we really have a sense, if, you know, people who really study this have a sense even of how big the problem is. If so many of these murders are going unreported, it must be tough to really know just how vast this issue is.
Exactly. And that's what people like Thomas Hargrove or the Murder Accountability Project have been talking about, which is, you know, saying basically, look, if you look at the data that we have, it shows there's a problem. But the problem with that is we don't know the exact breadth of the problem, because you have, you know, things aren't exactly reported to the FBI correctly. Or the other issue that comes up that, you know, people involved in this issue have brought up is that Native deaths might not even be reported properly, where they're either said that they're other or unknown race, or there's the Urban Indian Health Institute did a study, and they found that they talked to a bunch of different police departments around the country, and in one police department in New Mexico said, we don't even keep track of race, or we have no way to even look up, you know, in our database how many people are Native that have been murdered. And they found similar issues with Phoenix, Tempe, and Scottsdale as well. They weren't able to quantify that for them. And one of the largest areas where there's a major, you know, Native population, Pinal County, they don't track ethnicity. That's not determined by the medical examiner. That's determined by the family who claims the body. So then we don't even have any idea of how many Native deaths have happened that are unsolved in those counties because no one's claimed the body, so no ethnicity has been determined.
That is Jared McDonald-Evoy of the Arizona Mirror. Jared, thanks for the time this morning.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.